Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're now in lesson 130. Last time we're discussing the appearance of the Eternal, of God, of the angel of the Lord, as he's mentioned, to Gideon, and giving him the commission to go and deliver his people from the hand of Midian. And we began by saying that God first is introduced as the angel of the Lord in verse 11. And then verse 12 again, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, the Lord is with you. In other words, he said to him, Jehovah is with you. In other words, I am with you. And also, the God of heaven and earth, the El Elyon, is also with you. And Gideon says to him, O my Lord, O Adoni, if Jehovah is with us, why then has all these things happened to us? Where are all of his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not Jehovah bring us from Egypt? And you remember last lesson, when we read about the angel of the Lord that was in the cloud and in the pillar of fire. And so it is made very plainly that it was God who was in it, that was Jehovah who was in it, but he's called also the angel of the Lord. So he's speaking about this matter here. That one that was in the cloud there. He led us out of Egypt. And then later on we read in the book of Joshua chapter 2 where the angel of the Lord came and spoke to the people of Israel, and Joshua was there too. And he told them, I brought you out of Egypt. I delivered you. I swore to your fathers. I made a covenant with you. See, the angel of the Lord is speaking here all the time. And he's making it very plain. So they say, the eyes to see that he is himself. He's God, and he's appearing to his own people there in the days of Joshua, and he's speaking to them just like he appeared to Abraham. He came in person, and they saw him there, and they wept because of what he told them, that he's not going to deliver them anymore from the hand of some of their enemies there. He's going to cause them to become a thorn in their flesh. And to this very day, the people of Israel are still paying the penalty for it. And then, the Lord is appearing to Gideon, is speaking to him. And then verse 14, after you read the angel of the Lord, it says, then the Lord turned to him, the Eternal. So you see the end of the play on words here, so to speak, or the introduction by different names. Angel of the Lord, and so forth. And verse 14, then the Eternal turned unto him, which means in verse 14, you are introduced to the knowledge of who is this angel of the Lord. It's the Lord himself. Only he is the Lord of somebody else who is also the Lord. And that one is the Most High God, the El Elyon. You see? And when people are in the light, they have no problem understanding it. And they have no problem understanding the statement, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And all the other statements in Isaiah and many other places. That there is only one God, one Lord. You see? Because he's dealing with people who are idol worshippers, and he's trying to show them and to convince them, look, I am God, I am the only one, they are not. That's the context. He wasn't talking about the fact that there is no other divine being up in heaven. He's talking about the context of that fact that he is spirit being, he is divine, he is the real God, and all the idol worship that they had, it was just nothing. They are no God. That's why in the first commandment he says, don't have other Elohim beside me. I'm your only Elohim. I'm the one who is dealing with you. I'm your husband. I'm your God. I'm your deliverer. But at the same time, he made it very plain throughout all the scriptures from beginning until the end. I'm sent myself by somebody else. So even Israel didn't have a problem knowing that, and they understood the context of those statements. But the blind, who became blind later on, totally lost that knowledge and understanding. And so even when they see very plain statements like here, you know, they rationalize, they reason around it, you know, they turn it in every which way, anything but to believe what they read. Verse 14 makes it very plain. It was the Lord that was speaking to him, who is the angel of the Lord. And the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And who is he? You know, he's God. He's not an angel. Angels don't come and give you commissions. Verse 15, so he said to him, O my Lord, O Adonai, and he in Hebrew, they translated that to Adonai, and of course that word did not exist, was something that was added by the scribes. Instead of Elohim, they used Adonai, my Lord, because they didn't want to blame in their ignorance. instead of obeying the word of God, the law of God that says, don't take my name in vain. You know, their understanding was, don't take it at all. So use a euphemism instead. And so they use Adonai. And so he said to him, O Adonai, that is in translation, O my Lord, O Adonai, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Eternal said to him, so this is the angel of the Lord speaking to him. So now he's using the word Eternal instead of angel. And the Eternal said to him, O Jehovah said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And then he said to him, if I now have found favor in your sight, then show me. Yeah, if you are from Missouri, you know what it means. Show me. That's the problem of the children of Israel. Show me. You know? No faith. It's always, show me. And this is a Manassite. Gideon, from the tribe of Manasseh. You know? His descendants are Americans. Same attitude. Show me. Show me attitude. No faith. So every time God had to do something for his people, it was always show me. So if you don't show me, I don't believe it. And when he came in the flesh, they still told him, show me. What sign do you show us that you are the Messiah, the Son of God? Show us. That's where the problem is. Show me. And a lot of people, you know, may say, well, show me. So he tried to show them from the scriptures, and after he go through the whole thing, they still don't believe it. Why? Because they're in the show me attitude. No faith. No vision. No sight. No eyesight. No spirit in them. But for those who do, as Christ said, he that has an ear, let him hear. So that's, this whole series is for those who have ears to hear, not for those who don't. For the rest, down the road, hopefully they will. Verse 18, he says, do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. You see, now if he's an angel, he's not going to say that. You know, you don't offer sacrifices to angels. But he knows this is God that is speaking to him. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went and prepared a young goat. So he was going to prepare an offering to him. And then verse 20, and the angel of Elohim. Instead of saying the angel of Jehovah, now God says, dictate angel of Elohim. An angel of Elohim said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the rock. Unleavened bread, that's because God demanded that when they bring offerings to him, it should always be unleavened bread. It has nothing to do with Passover. That was all year round, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes. And pour out, though it might be that this special occasion here, it takes place around the days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We don't know. But in either case, as I said, you know, the law makes it very plain. Unleavened bread is always to be offered with the sacrifices throughout the entirety of the year. And so he said, put it on the rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And then verse 21, then the angel of Elohim, of Jehovah. Now instead of angel of Elohim, it says angel of Jehovah. Other places it would say just Jehovah himself. All the same person. Then the angel of Jehovah put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of Jehovah departed out of his sight. Verse 22. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of Jehovah. You see, and I perceived, in other words, all this time, he wasn't sure whom he's talking to. And so I have to see it always, as I said, from the point of view of the one who is dictating it. God is the one dictating it to the one who is writing it. Gideon is not fully aware of what's happening. And so God is introducing himself as an angel, as Jehovah himself, as Elohim, you see. And so Gideon, from his point of view, we read, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of Jehovah. In other words, this was really. And the angel of the Lord, that was known to the children of Israel to this very day, was known as Jehovah himself, who is sent by the Most High God. So now he perceived that this was actually God, Jehovah, the one that came to Mount Sinai, the one that brought them out of Egypt. You see, if you don't understand it from the point of view of the people who used to have faith and then they lost it, instead of from the point of view of people who lost their faith, you get a totally different picture. And so he says, Now that he perceived that he is the angel of Jehovah, that means that he is God himself that was sent by the God of heaven and earth, El Elyon. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Jehovah Elohim, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." You see? So what's the problem with, you know, seeing the angel of the Lord face to face? If it is an angel, what do you need to fear? What do you need to worry about, you see? But what he worried, what he feared, as some people, you know, did when they didn't have a proper relationship with God, that they have seen God, and so there was that superstition. You see God and you die. And so this is what he was afraid of. He knew that this was the divine, the second divine being, that God, you know, family, or the Godhood, you know, the two deities. That's what he was afraid about. Verse 23, then the Eternal said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die." So it's the same person speaking to him. So don't be afraid. And so Gideon built an altar there to the Eternal and called it, "The Eternal is Peace." To this day it is still in Ophrah that be is right. So the person who is writing it from that point of view, that you can still see it to this very day, be it Samuel or anybody else. And then we continue in verse 25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Eternal, or Jehovah, said to him. In other words, this whole period of time that God was speaking to him, the one that was mentioned several times here is the angel of the Lord, other times is mentioned as Jehovah himself. He spent quite a long time with him, and in between he had the sacrifice that he offered to him. And so, as we read earlier, in verse 18, where Gideon wanted to offer him the offering, he told him to the Eternal, the angel of the Lord, and mind you, Gideon, like all the children of Israel, they would know, you never bring an offering to an angel. You don't bring a sacrifice to an angel. Those things are only to God. So obviously he's fully aware that this angel of the Lord is also Jehovah. And so it tells in verse 18, "Do not depart from me here, I pray you, until I come to you and bring my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." See, an angel would have told him, "You don't do it for me, you do it to God." And to begin with, Gideon would not have offered to bring the sacrifice before an angel. And then when that happened, it says in verse 21, "Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat. The unleavened bread and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Eternal departed out of his sight." And now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And so now he offered him the sacrifice. This was the angel of the Lord. But also he realized, knowing that this is also, just like Hagar knew, that this is also Jehovah, the one that deals with them on a personal basis. Because of the knowledge that was there, that there are two of them. One is the one that deals with them on a personal basis, and he is also Jehovah, and he is sent by another one. And so now the Lord appears to him again, the same night, shortly after he offered him the sacrifice. In verse 25, and he says to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal your father, your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to Jehovah your Elohim." In other words, the first one was for me. You see? Now you build one to the Most High God. And so you see a difference here. He's not going to ask him to offer twice the same night, one earlier and another one for him again now. This time he said, "You offer it, you know, you're reconciled to me, but you have to be reconciled to the Eternal Most High." And so that's what he's asking him to do. And obviously, again, Gideon understands that. And he said, "You build an altar to the Eternal, that is to Jehovah, your Elohim." Because most of Israel, unfortunately and tragically, as they've done it very often, departed from their own Jehovah and from the Most High, from both of them. That knowledge was always there, and they went to other Elohim. You see? And now he says, now you offer it to the one who is really your Jehovah, your Eternal. You've offered it to me, who is the Eternal. He offered it also to, in modern terminology, after 2000, you know, after Christ came, you can say you offer it to your father now. In those days, obviously, it was not the Father. It was the Most High. So that's what he's telling him. You offer it to the eternal Elohim, who is your Elohim, on top of this rock, in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. And so that's exactly what he did. And he offered it just like as the Lord has said to him. As Jehovah said to him, the one that is mentioned several times before, that is the angel of the Lord, and now and then as the Lord himself. And so Gideon, being a servant of God, had that knowledge and understanding. And like many others, and he was not the only one, there were many others that are not even mentioned, obviously, servants of God, people of God, that knowledge, as the scripture makes very, very plain, has been there until the days of at least Ezra and Nehemiah and beyond that. And even in the days of Jesus Christ, there were still some people that retained that knowledge and understanding. And so when Nathanael, who knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he basically is displaying that knowledge and understanding. If he is the Son of God, and the Jews understood that only in one way, it's not like some people who know try to make it. Well, I'm the Son of God, you're the Son of God, everybody's the Son of God. No, they knew exactly. Anybody who says he's the Son of God, he is God. That means he's Jehovah, he's eternal. You see? And of course, not having the experience of somebody living in their midst as a flesh and blood, year after year, day after day, you know, they were not aware of that. They were aware of the reality of, yes, you know, God sends the angel of the Lord, who is also Jehovah, and he deals with them, and then he departs. But not somebody being born and living in the flesh. That, they thought, was blasphemy. But they understood that when he said, I am, or when he said, I and the Father are one, or where he said, you know, that he is the Son of Man, and also referred to him as the Son of God, you see, I and my Father, he makes him the Son of God, they knew exactly what he meant by that. And that's the reason why they wanted to condemn him for the sin of blasphemy. Because he said, you call yourself the Son of God, you're making yourself equal with God. That means you're saying that you are God, that you are Jehovah. So even then, the knowledge was there, that there are two of them. Only they were not willing to accept the fact that this person who is living in the flesh, who has a mother and his brothers, is that personality. And that was the problem there. Had he just come and departed like he did in time past, as they know from the scriptures, as Nathanael knew, this is the Son of God, that would have been a totally different story. And now let's go to the book of Judges again, chapter 13, and this time we are going to deal with a woman first that had an experience with the angel of the Lord and then her husband, and these were the parents of Samson. And in chapter 13 and verse 3, at that time, obviously in verse 1, we read, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Eternal, and the Eternal delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And that's been always the way God dealt with his people. And some people forget that it is even to this very day. And oftentimes he does it also on a personal basis with any one of us. When we depart from God and we are his people and God wants us to come back to our senses, that's when oftentimes trials come to humble us, to remind us who we are, what are our responsibilities, and how far we've strayed away from that. And so Israel as a whole, as a nation, went into idolatry again, and therefore God dealt with them in this manner. But then, after a period of time, as the time comes to an end, then he sends them a deliverer. And so we read now the story of the deliverer and how God was going to work it out. And mind you, the Father is always involved in the lives of his people, Israel, and to this very day is involved with all of us. Though he was revealed by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, that does not mean that before that he was not dealing with them, as Christ himself made very plain. I see the Father is, or as I see the Father raising the dead or healing the sick, I do likewise. My Father works, I work too. So it was not that the Father just sits there on the throne doing nothing and Christ does everything. Oh no, the father is always very active, even in the lives of his own people. And so this is what happens here. And that's why you read, for that reason, you read always the angel of the Lord. Since he's very involved with the lives of his people, he sends a messenger to be the direct one who does it. But he's always behind the scenes, and at times he gets involved himself in the resurrection of the dead and the healing of the sick. And of course, we don't always know when those cases are, when the Father is the one directly doing it. But Christ made it very plain. The Father does that. And verse 2, and there was certain men from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. Now, why did he go to Dan? I remember what Jacob said about his son Dan. Dan also shall judge his people like the rest of the tribes of Israel. So Dan, now and then, took the position of leadership, and here you see one of them. And the angel of the Eternal, the angel of Jehovah, appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. And therefore, he tells her what she should do and what she shouldn't do with his kid. In other words, he's going to have to obey the law of the Nazarite that you read earlier in the law of Moses. And verse 6, so the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of Elohim. In other words, he appeared as a flesh and blood man of God, but his countenance was like the angel of Elohim, and was not just an ordinary angel that he was talking about, because oftentimes angels appeared just like ordinary men. But she's talking about that reality and that knowledge that was there still in the minds of those who were faithful to God. Now, there are two beings, and now and then God sends one of them, and that one of them is the angel of Elohim, and that one person himself is also Jehovah. That knowledge was always there. You know, he was the one that appeared to Jacob as an angel, and he said that he was the God of Bethel. He's the one that appeared to Moses in the bush, and he said that he's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so forth. So you have to understand it from that point of view. You know, if you don't comprehend this whole picture, you do not get the flavor of what you are reading and the meaning and the importance of it. And so she said, yes, he appeared as a man of God, just like God oftentimes appeared as an ordinary man as he came and dealt with men. And then later on, people realized, and that's why now and then they would ask him, what is your name? You see, they wanted to know. Are you that personality that is the angel of God that is also Jehovah sent from the Most High? And so she said his countenance, verse 6, was like the countenance of the angel of Elohim, or the angel of Jehovah. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. You see? Oftentimes when you read this statement about his name, you realize that this is generally the one that is the Jehovah. Jacob wanted to know his name when he was wrestling with him. Tell me, what's your name? He said, why do you want to know my name, seeing that it is wonderful? In other words, the title that was given to the son that was going to be born, that you read in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. One of his names is Wonderful. And this was not a name of an angel, but it was the name of the very one that created Adam and Eve, that was sent from the Most High, that himself was an eternal being. And so, you see, that's the reason why I see this statement. He didn't tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and not drink no wine. So she tells him about the instructions. And then verse 8, now Manoah prayed to the Eternal and said, O Eternal, please let the men of God. So he too is praying to the Father, to the Most High, and he's asking him to send the one that is sent from him, that is called generally, oftentimes, the angel of the Eternal. But they all knew also that he himself is also an Eternal. You see, when the knowledge is common and it's not known, then it's not an issue. But when the knowledge totally departs, now it sounds strange. So even when people read it again and again, it's so very plain, the scriptures are very plain there, very simple, and not complicated, and they tell you that Eternal, that angel of the Lord, are the same. You see? So when they pray like that to the Eternal, they pray to the Most High, and they ask him to send the other one who is also an Eternal. And so he's praying to the Most High, And verse 9 we read, and Elohim listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of Elohim. See, oftentimes it's called the angel of Jehovah, and then also angel of Elohim. Came to the woman again, and she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not there. And so the woman ran. She did not even talk to him. She just saw him, and she ran to get her husband. And she said, look, the man, verse 10, who came to me the other day, has just now appeared to me. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. Now, obviously, they know he's not just an ordinary man. And so in verse 12, Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? It's not that he didn't know, he wanted to hear it directly from him. And so in verse 13, and the angel of the Eternal, instead of Elohim, now it says the angel of the Eternal, said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine. In other words, explaining to him again the law of the Nazarite. Verse 15, then Manoah said to the angel of the Eternal, or the angel of Jehovah, please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. Now again, Israelites, knowing God, never, ever offered a sacrifice to an angel. So obviously, when you realize what is really behind it, they're fully aware of the fact that the angel of the Lord is Jehovah also, an eternal being, a deity. And that knowledge was from the Garden of Eden, from Adam and Eve. And so humanity has always been aware of this reality, that there are more than one, in other words. And because of that, because of this understanding and reality, that sun stretched this reality and began to create not only two, but three, four, five, 20, 30 deities. And so they became idol worshippers. God of the mountain, the God of the valley, and God of the river, and of this, and of that, and of fertility. And that's how idol worship began, because of the knowledge that there are more than two. Now, that is, there is more than one. They knew of two of them. And so some thought, well, maybe there are more. Because obviously demons appeared and confused them to believe that there are more than just two of them. And so they began to worship others, not knowing that they are not divine beings. In other words, they are not Jehovah. They're just angels, those spirit beings. But again, the reality was always there. The knowledge of the Most High and the one who is sent by Him, who is also Himself a Jehovah, was always there. And so this is what Manoah is saying here. He said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you in verse 15, and we will prepare a young goat for you, just like earlier Gideon did. Verse 16, and the angel of the Eternal, the angel of Jehovah, said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Eternal. In other words, you do not offer it to a man, you do not offer it to an angel. And Manoah, the reason why he's saying it to Manoah, because Manoah is still not fully aware of the identity of this person that he's speaking to. And as long as he was not aware of his identity, The angel of the Lord, who is Jehovah, does not want him to do like the others, the pagans, the ignoramuses, who worshipped anybody that came from God. And be it an angel, or a spirit, or anybody that they thought came from God. You see, that's what idolatry was all about. And so that's exactly what we read here. Some would read the scripture say, well, you see, aha, he knows that this angel of the Lord is just an ordinary angel. No, that's not the problem that is here. The problem is with Manoah. And so we read, and the angel of the Lord said to him, though you detain me, I will not eat your food, but if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Eternal. In other words, you don't offer it to angels, if that's what you think I am. Just an ordinary angel. And then we read, for Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. You see, in other words, if you knew that he was the angel of the Lord, then it's fine to offer the sacrifice, because you do offer a sacrifice to the angel of the Lord, since he is an eternal also. But if you just think of just another angel, you shouldn't do that. And that's what he tells him. He's just reminding him of that reality. And later on, Manoah is going to know that this is the angel of the Lord, and he is going to know that this angel of the Lord is also Jehovah, and we shall read that. And so then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name?" Again, what is your name? Everybody wants to know what is your name. "That when your words come to pass, we may honor you." And you see, that was a problem also with the pagan identity. That is, they had names for all their idols, and they wanted to worship them by name. And God was not interested in people worshiping angels or worshiping demons or worshiping anybody that is not an eternal, because it is idol worship, obviously. And so, when Jacob wrestles with the angel, he knows that he is God, because he's asking him to bless him, and then he's asking for his name. You see? And my others who knew him by name. So that was not an issue there, whether he is God or not. When they know that he is, they wanted to know his name. Sometimes he would volunteer that information, just like Joshua. When he met Joshua, he just volunteered the information that he is the captain of the Lord of hosts. But then he is also introduced to him as God. And Joshua immediately knows that the captain of the Lord of hosts is God. And so he bows down and worships. And this God proceeds to tell him that the place that he stands on is holy. And obviously, some people were more aware of that and had pure knowledge and understanding, and others, because of their idol worship, they had more problems with that. And God wanted to make a point. I wanted to realize that when you worship God. You worship, and if you understand that I am the angel of God, then you can sacrifice to me. But if you don't, you should sacrifice it only to the eternal, and not to someone you think is just an ordinary angel. And so, in verse 18, the angel replies when he asks him, "What is your name?" The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" You see? In other words, as I mentioned in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, one of the names of the Son of God, who was born of God, who is also himself a Jehovah, is wonderful. Angels don't have that name. That's the name of God. That's the name of Jehovah. And so this is what, now he is revealing himself. My name is wonderful, and I cannot tell you about the other name. But he told him one name, one of his names, wonderful. And so now Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the eternal, just like he told him. And he's still at this point, still not fully aware of the identity of this angel of the Lord. And so it happened, verse 20, as the flame went up toward the heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, just like he did with Gideon. You see, it's the same personality, who is there introduced also as Jehovah. And when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. And when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then, you see, that's what the problem with the coming of Jesus Christ in the minds of the people of his day. The angel of the Lord, when he came and spoke to them, and they knew that he was the angel of the Lord, and he was also Jehovah, after that, after he delivered the message, after he dealt with them, he disappeared. Well, this one is always with us all the time. How can he be that personality? And that's why they could not stomach that. And so, it happened as the flame went up, but the angel of the Lord disappeared in the fire, just like it did with Gideon. And when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. You see, because now they realize that this angel of the Lord is Jehovah himself, that is sent from the Most High. And at this point, you see, you don't do it with an angel. They don't fall with their face to the ground with an angel. But they do it when that angel of the Lord is himself, Jehovah. Because that knowledge of the two being was always there. And so, when the angel, verse 21, of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. In other words, the one that was known to them as also Jehovah sent from the Most High, who is also Jehovah. In other words, both are eternal. That's what it means. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die." Why? "Because we have seen Elohim." You see? We have seen Elohim. Now the rabbis later on, because they do not believe in the identity of the Lord, of the angel of the Lord as also being Jehovah, they said, well, I guess sometimes Jehovah, that is Elohim, and an angel have the same name. And some of them are extremely baffled by it, And especially the honest among them, they scratch their head and they realize there is something wrong with our understanding, because they see it very clearly that the angel of the Lord is also Jehovah, and they cannot obviously figure that problem in their mind, since they are under the impression that there is only one. And so it's a matter that they say, well, I don't understand it, I don't want to think about it, because that creates a problem. Others, they're more honest, and they allow it to enter into their minds and hearts, and they're so bothered by this knowledge and understanding that they finally come to admit, yes, there is another divine being. And in the past 2,000 years, obviously, the only conclusion to that was that Jesus was, after all, the one that he said he is. The Son of God meaning that he was God. He was an eternal being. Before that, it was not an issue. Before that, they had the knowledge and understanding of the two beings being also Jehovah, each one of them. And so this is what Manoah now says. We have seen Elohim. In other words, now I understand who is the identity of that angel of the Lord. I understand that he is Elohim. He is Jehovah. You see? And but his wife said to him, if the Eternal desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands. In other words, now she makes that understandable. Look, now that we know that this man, that this angel of the Lord, is Jehovah himself, that is the one that the Most High constantly sends to deal with us, so now she calls him by name. If Jehovah, you see, this angel of the Lord, now that they recognize him as Elohim, he says, if Jehovah had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering. And yet this angel of the Lord accepted the burnt offering. So now they show that they understand who he is. As long as they did not, the angel of the Lord that appeared to them told them, don't offer it to me. If that's the way, if you think that I'm just an angel, offer it to the Eternal, to Jehovah. Now that they know that he's Jehovah, they bow down, they worship, with the faces to the ground, and then now they call him Elohim and they call him Jehovah. And so that's what she says. If Jehovah had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as this at this time. And so the knowledge was there. Again, first they did not recognize him, and after that they did. Apparently Gideon did recognize him sooner than these people did. And there also, the scriptures make it very plain that the angel of the Lord that was talking to him is also Jehovah. Well, here, in the beginning they did not, and then they did. And so they called him Elohim, and his wife called him Jehovah, because these are his names. And so, you see, the knowledge was there, even though sometimes people may not have been fully aware of it when they first encountered that personality. But then when certain things happen, they know that that personality is the very one that appeared to Moses. And it says, the angel of the Lord, or the angel of Jehovah, that appeared to him in the bush. And then it says that this was Jehovah himself, who claims to be the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So when that knowledge is there all this time, you see, then people see it in a totally different way. Once the rabbis have invented this concept because of ignorance and blindness, and people don't take it, for what it is, they think that they do understand when God says, no, you don't understand, the wisdom of your wise shall perish, you are blind, you have eyes but you can't see, you have ears but you can't hear, you have a heart but you cannot understand. You see? So when people like that begin to read the scriptures, they are reading it as blind people, as deaf people, as people who have no understanding, as people whose wisdom perished. This is when the supposed knowledge of monotheism has begun. In other words, the monotheism where there is only one being who is the Eternal in the entirety of the whole universe. Now, monotheism before that did exist in the days, from the days of Moses and Adam and Eve and all the prophets, but not in the sense that it became later on. The monotheism at the time was this. There are deities who are no deities. You see? And there is a true deity who is dealing with us. And he is our God. And the others are not. And that's what God says in the first commandment. You shall make no other Elohim beside me. I am your Elohim. And the context is, all the others are no Elohim, I am one. In that you can say this is a monotheism. You see? But that monotheism was not in the context that there is only one divine being in the entirety of the universe. It was in the context is that in comparison to all the other deities who are not deities, I am the only one. I'm the only one who is dealing with you. I am your Elohim. They are not. And this is where the Jews got confused long after the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, because the wisdom by then was darkened, the eyes were darkened, so much knowledge and understanding was gone, and yet some of them still retained it. As I said, like Nathanael and many others. And others needed to be reminded of that, of that knowledge and understanding. And to this very day, in the past 2,000 years, when rabbis who were honest with the scriptures and read it from the beginning until the end, they were honest enough to admit it, that we've been 2,000 years ago, or maybe 2,200 years ago, we've been sold a bill of goods about the proper concept and understanding of monotheism. And that's what the problem is. And we continue now to another scripture in the book of Malachi. And the book of Malachi, you basically read one, well, there are some others in between. We don't need to go through every single one of them. But in Malachi, the story of the last prophet that was sent by God, which is very interesting because his name means my angel. And in this book, you read about basically four angels. One is the prophet himself, who is called my angel, and therefore God chose him to deliver the last message. And then the priest was also called by God as my angel, the angel of the Lord. Malach Elohim, Malach is an angel. And also, the one that we read in chapter 3, that later on became known as John the Baptist. And in chapter 3 we read, behold, I send my messenger. The word in Hebrew is malach. Malach, messenger are the same. I send my malach, and Malachi means also malach, my messenger. So when he says, I send my messenger, he says, I will send Malachi. You see? Or malachi. It's not even Malachi in English. It became Malachi. Malachi doesn't mean anything. It's malachi. It's too bad when people begin to translate the names and they totally lose their meaning and nobody knows what they mean. Malachi means my angel. Malach is an angel. Malachi, that's in the possessive in Hebrew. My angel, malachi. It's in Malachi, you totally miss it, you lose it. And that's what happens to people. Their knowledge is gone. Their understanding is confused. They don't comprehend and they do not even know how to translate something properly. That's how ignorance comes about, and people worship God with their own precepts and their own understanding. And God says, it's all in vain. And so he says, I will send my messenger, my angel, Malachi, and he will prepare the way before me. You see? Who is me? The one who is sending him. You see, John was sent by the Father. And also by the one that became his son. Because John was born before Jesus Christ was born. So the one that does it directly is Jesus Christ. He sends him. And then 6 months later, he comes in the flesh and is born. And so he said, he's going to prepare the way before me. You see? And me, the one that appeared on the scene, is Jesus Christ. So before he was born, he sent to John to prepare the way before him. And of course, he was still a baby at the time, only when he was 30 that he began to really do it. And then he continues, and the Eternal, or and the Jehovah, whom you see, oh, actually it says here the Adon, here it doesn't say the Lord, even though it is with a capital L, it's and the Adon. You see, and that's why when Jesus Christ came in the flesh, everybody called him the Adon, the Master. You see, that's what Adon means. And so he says, and the Adon, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. You see? And who came to his temple? The Adon, the Master. You see? And that Master is the one that I sent, he said earlier, before John was born, You know, several centuries before he was born, 505 centuries before he was born, he said, I'm going to send him to prepare the way before me. You see, I'm the Eternal, and I'm the Adon, and I'm coming to my temple. So he says, and the Adon whom you seek. So they were seeking the Adon. They were seeking the Lord. They were seeking the coming of the Messiah, whom they did know. You see, they didn't know that the Messiah was himself the angel of the Lord, captain of the Lord of hosts, the El, the God of Israel, Jehovah, the anointed. You see, all that knowledge was still there to a degree. But as they were rejecting, as God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because they have rejected knowledge. And when people reject knowledge, they become even more confused, and they go into darkness and blindness much worse than they had before. And so we have to understand the scriptures very plainly. God is sending a messenger, that's John the Baptist, and then he said that he's going to come before me, who is Jehovah, and he said, even the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, you know, Malach HaBrit. Anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph saying greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.